Hello? Am I on? Brief word of prayer. I request everyone's prayer because I've been fighting a cold for the last several days. And I'm also going to be departing somewhat from my notes, which is always scary, especially with getting some extra time. That's really scary. Father, I pray for your Spirit to strengthen me and speak through me today. Thank you for the message that I believe that you have given and the additions in the last several minutes. Lord, I pray for the ears to be open, hearts to be receptive to what your Spirit would say, not necessarily what I would say, but what your Spirit is saying. Thank you, Lord. At the end of the Hosea portion of the Haftarah, there's actually three different sections for Haftarah today. The last verse says, "Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble." Final verse of Hosea. This is Shabbat Shuvah, which is the Sabbath of return, the Sabbath of repentance. And the word that I have has to go along with that, but it's an unusual one, not one that has been touched on, but not really expounded for this particular season. And this is where the addition comes in that I believe that the Lord gave me. I want everyone to picture what is going to happen or what happened during the time that the temple was up, the tabernacle was up, and it came to the day of Yom Kippur. The high priest goes in before the very presence of the Lord, the manifest Shekinah, glory of God. He first offered for his own sins and his own family. Then he goes in with the two goats, casts the lot, slaughters one goat, and confesses not his own sin, but the sins of the nation. One man standing in for the nation, confessing. The other goat is let go and goes out and dies in the wilderness. And it's our own way of doing that. We are priests before God in Yeshua. Peter says that we are a kingdom of priests. Yeshua has the high priesthood. We get to participate in that if we are in him. And I'm going to turn to a very non-traditional passage of Scripture, and I'd like you to turn with me, Daniel 9. We're going to start in verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, and said, "Alas, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and in loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame. It is this day to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are nearby, those who are far away, and all the countries to which you have driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs compassion and forgiveness. We have rebelled against him, nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servant the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice, so the curse has been poured out upon us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus he has confirmed his word, which he spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us, to bring on great calamity, for under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what was done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and paying attention to your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all of his deeds which he has done. We have not obeyed his voice. And he goes on with that and dropping down to verse 20. Now, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sins of the people Israel, and presented my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of God, while I was still speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision previously, came to my extreme weariness at the time of the evening offering. Now, when I was scheduled to speak today, and of course, one looked at the calendar and realized it's Shabbat Shuva, selecting a subject seemed like a no-brainer. Sabbath of return, the Sabbath of repentance. So I speak on repentance, right? Well, it's right in the middle of the 10 days of awe. And the message, the last Shabbat's message, the last Shabbat's drash, and the drashes and messages this Monday on Yom Teruah, the Tashlik service, covered everything I figured I was going to say. But there was another aspect of repentance and returning that I had not considered, though it was briefly mentioned in at least one of this last week's speakers. This is a time primarily of personal repentance and reflection, turning around and walking in a new way. But I submit that it's not just a time of personal turning. We, as part of the Jewish community, are doing this together. It is a corporate turning as well. In a few days, we gather back here in this place to pray the Alchet, the prayer of repentance from a multitude types of sins. While none of us have committed every one of those, as a people, they have all been committed. And we get to confess and repent from something that we are not personally involved in. We confess on behalf of our brothers and sisters, on behalf of our community. Which brings us to the passage that I just read from Daniel. He prayed, "We have sinned. We have done wrong, acted wickedly, and rebelled." Did that apply personally to Daniel? Probably not. In fact, didn't he get into trouble on several occasions for walking in obedience? Thrown into a lion's den? His buddies got thrown into a fire. That's because he was such a stickler for being obedient. So, why should we pray such a prayer? Daniel identified himself with his people, the people of Israel, the people of God. He was exiled as a youth for the sins of a people in generations past, not for his own. Now, as an old man, he's taking his place as a representative of his people and confessing before the Lord the sins that put them into Babylon in the first place. God moved on Nehemiah and Ezra, who started the process of the Jews coming back to the land. Could that have happened without Daniel praying? Unknown. But what we do know is that he prayed a prayer of repentance and was heard and answered in a mighty way, visited by the archangel Gabriel. And God did restore Judah back to the land. He did rebuild Jerusalem. The example that Daniel gives us is that we can pray and repent on behalf of the sins of the community that we are part of. This idea is brought forth in the weekday Amidah, paragraph 6. Forgive us, our Father, for we have sinned. Pardon us, our King, for we have transgressed. For you pardon and forgive. Blessed are you, O Lord, gracious and ever ready to forgive. Again, the idea is not whether we have personally sinned or transgressed. It is we, as the community, that have sinned and transgressed. At least someone in our community has. In Joshua chapter 7, we read where one man's sin cost Israel 36 lives and their first defeat in taking the promised land. Joshua 7:1. But the people of Israel broke faith in regards to the devoted things, for Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avon, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. The man went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, let not all of the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are but few. So 3,000 went up from there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. The men of Ai killed about 36 men of them, chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim, and slew them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, and he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. We know how that all plays out. If the sin of one man, in this case, Achan, could change everything for an entire nation, could not also the repentance of one man also affect the nation for the good? Indeed, when Abram was visited by three men, who were actually angels, on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abram argued and bargained and talked down God to saving those cities for the sake of 10 righteous men. And that's where the idea of having a minion of 10 adult male Jews present to say such prayer as the Kaddish comes from. Unfortunately, the righteous lot was less than 10 men, and the cities were destroyed. Lot got out, but his family suffered greatly in the process. We, as Jews and Gentiles in the Messianic movement who reside in this U.S. have our place in at least three different communities. The Jewish community, the church world community, and the United States community. Some of us are members of other particular ethnic and nationalist ethnic communities. Each community has its good and bad points. In each there are those who have sinned and have led the whole community into sinful acts and attitudes. As members of these communities, we can pray and repent of these communal sins before the Lord. As God led Daniel in his prayer of repentance on behalf of the exiled Jewish people, we can pray and affect the destiny of our own people. Did Daniel ever see the fruits of his prayers? We don't know. Since he was probably in his teens when the Babylonians came, at this point he would have probably been in his mid to late 80s. But the events that led the Jews to coming back home certainly started there, with Daniel on his knees. And from there, city walls were rebuilt, the temple was restored, Torah was again read to the people. These days of awe are certainly a time for personal introspection and repentance, and I do not want to diminish that in any way, but I encourage you to also take time to remember the sin of the nation communities we are part of and repent on those as well. In the opening passage, at a time when Daniel was very tired from his prayers, he was visited by an angel. If we continue on in Daniel 9, verse 22, he gave me, he that would be the angel, Gabriel, gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, now I have come forth to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. So give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and for the holy city to finish the transgression, to make the end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy place. So you are now to know and discern from the issuing of that decree to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. There will be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even times of distress. And he goes on to give some more interesting messianic prophecies, but the point here is that he prayed is for that what he prayed for, what he, Daniel, prayed for, is promised to happen. James tells us, the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much and reminds us that Elijah was a man like us. He prayed for the rain to stop and then to start, and it did. Daniel was also a man like us. His prayer reestablished a nation. The idea of repenting on behalf of the community is not just something dreamed up by charismatic Christians about 2 or 3 decades ago. It's in Orthodox Judaism as well. In an article in the online newspaper, The Jewish Week, New York, dated 9/7 of 2010, 2 years ago, Orthodox Rabbi Shmuley Yankovitz wrote this after listing his opinion of some of the serious sins of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. And if anybody wants to read the article, I have the whole article here. I'm just going to read an excerpt from it. So how does Jewish tradition suggest that we do teshuvah for these significant misgivings? As usual, we must first come out of our denial and accept the reality of the wrongs we have remained a bystander to or have perpetrated. As a nation chosen to carry certain responsibilities, we need to recognize how we have fallen short as global leaders of justice. We must now repair our harms and missed opportunities and offer apologies. Then we must ensure that we put sustainable systems in place that can ensure our community improves and safeguards itself from falling again in the coming year. From the Jewish perspective, a wrongdoing to an individual is a wrongdoing against that individual, against God, and the whole world, since it creates insecurity, what Buber calls an offense against the order of being. At times, tragically, a wrongdoing is done that cannot be directly repaired, which requires substitute reparation. Maimonides explains that the compensation should be given to the inheritors of the wrong or to local authorities to manage. Hilkot Teshuvah, the Midrash, teaches us that in such a case where we cannot locate the one that deserves our apology, we must give back to strangers and to society at large. This year, in addition to apologizing to others for our mistakes, we, as light unto the nations, can embrace the virtue of collective teshuva by taking all humanity to forgive us, by asking all humanity to forgive us for the time that our light burns others rather than inspires and heals. I have little doubt that our great nation can meet the challenges of this Rosh Hashanah. We are a holy nation, not when we point fingers at our perpetrators, but when we cleanse ourselves to represent the ideals of our tradition and conscience. And I would like to put our own response on this. Some suggestions for prayer for this. Pray that our Jewish people would see the Messiah and his atonement and return to him. Pray for our Christian brothers to put off the anti-Semitism and replacement theories that have been a block to the gospel. Pray for the U.S. to come back to the God they called on when our founding fathers first established us as a nation under God. It may be a long road back in some cases, but that's what Shuvah is all about, turning around and going back to where you came from. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, we have, as a people, have sinned before you. We as individuals have sinned, and we as a people group have sinned. Father, I pray that you would reveal all of these areas to us, and that your Holy Spirit would lead us into a proper prayer of repentance for whatever it is that your Spirit would show us. Thank you for this people now, and I pray for your Spirit to power this message. Thank you for giving it to me. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.